Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, folks, this is Carl. It is time for weekly study today at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Pacific time, it is noon, and we go for an hour and a half, which is 90 minutes. I realize the schedule says 180. I was requested to do that. I don't know why. It doesn't make any difference. Unless somebody tells us it's wrong, I'm going to keep doing that. But we have an hour and a half, next 90 minutes. And before we start, Raven will be calling in, and she will be praying with us. As always, we want direction from the Holy Spirit on everything we say and do. This is a Bible study that we do, but this is the Holy Spirit's Bible study. This has nothing to do with a Bible study. Okay, Raven, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, this Bible study, folks, is, call it anything you want. Even if I own the station, it's still not my Bible study. This is the Holy Spirit's Bible study. And in every phase of it, whether it's the way either I or Raven explain verses to you, or the spiritual meaning that only the Holy Spirit can give you, we can't even begin to. In fact, we would be wrong to tell you what spiritual wisdom you get from the Holy Spirit, what it must be. And there are denominations, folks, that major in this extremely important point. They want to control what you're thinking, what you're saying, what your reaction is, especially where you go and give your money. And the topic of today is going to be where we were last week. And we're going to continue because this is critically important. And that is the advice that the Bible gives to believers. When you know that the Holy Spirit is showing you that you're under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. And we elaborated on that topic last week. Even 2 weeks ago, we introduced it. You can write down Acts 20:29-31, where Paul calls the people that are going to be preaching and teaching, ravenous wolves will enter. In the book of Timothy, it says in 1 Timothy 4:1, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not reading the scripture, it says, in latter times, which we sure are in, just like Paul says, in latter times, ravenous wolves will come in to destroy the flock. And true believers are the flock. And in Timothy, it says that in latter times, the Spirit expressly states. Isn't that a good phrase, expressly? In other words, it wasn't just a cliche he'd heard that Carl said over and over that sounded good in the middle of a joke that he gives before a sermon to get the people in a good frame of mind, and I don't do that. But in the latter days, the Spirit expressly states that some will depart from the faith. These are preachers and teachers, and they will preach doctrines of demons and devils. And then if you go into 1 John 2:18-23, and 1 John 4:1-4, the Holy Spirit elaborates on the spirit of Antichrist. And it even states in 1 John, the Antichrist will come, but the spirit of Antichrist is in every church. And folks, if you're one of the very few fortunate people who have a church where they are preaching and teaching from God's word only, not from seminary, not from man's opinion, not from commentaries, if you're fortunate enough to have that, don't for one moment think that the enemy of the spirit of Antichrist is not putting a full court press, as they say in basketball, a full court press in basketball, for those who are not basketball fans, is the same of as a two-minute drill in football. We're going to do everything we can to score. And the way they're scoring, folks, is to get current preaching and teaching to be telling you things that all sound good. Even some of them start biblically. But you can tell and you know that there's false doctrine. You know that there's statements in there the Holy Spirit is not trying to convey, and they're counterproductive for spreading the true gospel. Oh, they spread another gospel, which is no gospel at all. They spread another Jesus,
Amen.
Which is no Jesus Christ. And you read those
yes.
verses I just gave you. If anybody feels that I'm overboard here, just read the verses and see what the Holy Spirit says. In fact, I want you to do it, even if you don't think I'm overboard. I don't want anybody thinking that this is an agenda I've got, because I have no agenda. I have no church. I have no education. I have nothing to defend. I have no reputation. I have blank zero, nothing. So Raven's going to continue, and we're going to start with 2 Thessalonians 3:6-15. But before she starts, I want her to implore the Holy Spirit with all of us, that we not only guide us in what we say about each verse or the context, but the Holy Spirit talk to each one of us individually and warn us if we're in a church that is starting to do what Paul said, ravenous wolves, or what Paul said in 1 Timothy, that there would be doctrines of demons and devils preached in your church. So go ahead and pray, Raven.
All right. Father, we thank you for your word, for ability to pray, to have communion with you, to come to you through your scripture, Lord, and to have the Holy Spirit give us understanding, full understanding, through the Holy Spirit who you have given us to indwell us, so that we may know exactly what your word means. Father, I just ask right now that you would give us this understanding today as we read your word, as we study your word, and that as we do so, that each believer listening today and in the future would also have this understanding imparted into them.
Amen.
So that they completely understand, not only as we read, but as the Holy Spirit gives to them for their lives. Because we know, Lord, as we are on this journey with you, that in our own lives we have circumstances we're going through, and that the Holy Spirit gives us knowledge for each and every one of our own lives so that we can come closer to you personally.
Amen.
In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, funny, Raven. We're going to start with 1 Thessalonians 3, and you're going to read 6-15. But before you do that, right, the next page is 1 Timothy. We're in 2 Thessalonians.
Uh-huh.
I've lied to you. 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
And we're going to go next into 1 Timothy, and we're going to see how he continues in Timothy to talk about the same thing. Paul, in most of his epistles, not only warns about this false teaching in the church, but that seems to be an upfront topic he's got. But let's go ahead with 1 Timothy 3 and read, well, actually start with 5. 5 is exactly what you prayed.
Wait a minute, 1 Timothy or 2 Thessalonians 3?
Here, 1 Timothy comes next, 2 Thessalonians 3. But what you
okay.
just prayed is very close to what verse 5, so start with 5.
Okay.
3:5.
Yes. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the, you know, I just want to say, I have no idea where we're going to start before we do this. In fact, I asked Carl right beforehand. I said, where are we starting today? And he says, I've got it all set up. I'll let you know when we get on there. It's going to be in 2 Thessalonians, but I didn't know exactly where it was. So my prayer was not based upon this verse of scripture. Very interesting. Well, it wasn't according. Let me change that. I personally did not base my prayer upon this verse of scripture. I pray as the Holy Spirit directs me to pray. So
I got to make
so let me. What's that? Yes, go ahead.
By the wrong answers I give you, sometimes I don't obviously have an idea where we're going either, it appears.
You know, and it's because, you know, the Holy Spirit directs us, you know, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that, you know, he's the one that directs my prayer. I never know what I'm going to pray before I start.
But that's right along with what chapter 3, verse 5 is saying.
Yeah, I see that. It's amazing.
Look at that. He's asking for the Lord to direct your hearts into God's love, into the patient waiting for Christ. And what is he going to talk about now? He's going to talk about the problem. This is what I said before you prayed, that this prayer is for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Don't go off and get ticked off because somebody criticized you at church or because somebody let your son play basketball in the gym every day and they let somebody else. Those are not what we're talking about. We're talking about false, unequivocal, false combinations of some truth. Like we got to have love for our Christian brother, but to preach the love of God, which is the only love we can have that counts for anything, not human love. The only love that God wants us to have, and it's biblical in 1 John, read 1 John. There's numerous verses. It's the love of God. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can tell you when you're in a place which is either nurturing the love of God in you for others or it is tearing it down.
Yes,
so
amen.
This verse 5 is a great place to start.
Yeah.
And you did that. You started this whole thing by prayer.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Mm. Boy, that's really...
That's self-explanatory.
Oh, boy, that hits.
And this is people going in the church. Well, this is happening in the church. As you're going to see, folks, Paul is consistent with this in so many epistles. Let me just give them the books that we found this out of so far. Jeremiah 23:16, Matthew 5:29-30, Romans 1:16-32, and Romans 16:17-18, 1 Corinthians 10:21, 2 Corinthians 4:11, and 6:14-18, Ephesians 5:7-11, Galatians 1:8-10, 4:30-31, 5:12. Now we're going to continue. This is a theme that Paul has written every epistle about. This is not something that Carl and Raven are trying to tell you to get you out of their church and out of someone's church and into theirs because they don't have one. This is pandemic in the New Testament. This is pandemic in all of Paul and the John who wrote the gospel in his epistles. So continue.
Let's see. That you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know.
that tradition, he was taught in the desert in the Arabian desert by Christ for 3 years. He was in seclusion.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. When he says tradition, he's not talking about church tradition. He's not talking about
perfect.
Yeah, he's not talking about denominational beliefs. He's talking about the gospel. That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's very important to emphasize that.
No, you're right on.
Yeah, because people can read this and say, well, that means I'm supposed to follow what my pastor said. Well, if what your pastor said is reading directly from Scripture, yes. But he doesn't mean church tradition. He doesn't mean, and I'm not going to emphasize any one in particular.
Right.
But he doesn't.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In fact, was it in Romans where he made the comment? No, it was in Mark 7. You are willing to follow man's traditions more than the commands of God.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No, go ahead to 7.
Yeah. All right. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you.
Look at 8.
Not because.
You tell me,
that?
8, do you know, you just tell me of anybody that even, how could college-educated people read that? Now, he's not saying in verse 8 that it's wrong to take support. But
right.
Did I mention to you that there is a place that I've gone to that has now been one of the hundreds of many in the United States that is, the guy has been asked to leave for skimming money?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is just one.
You didn't mention
this? Yeah.
You didn't mention the name of the church, you know, just
no,
that this is happening.
No.
Right.
But, folks, look at this. Paul is not saying it's immoral, fattening, or illegal to take money. He's saying, but look, you got to be careful. Paul would not take money. For what reason? Because he did not want – go ahead.
I was just going to say, he didn't want anyone pointing a finger at him and saying, hey, you're doing this, what was the word he used? He actually had a
word.
Yeah.
Well, he used we might not be chargeable. Okay, what that is
yeah.
Christ himself, the Jesus who loves everybody, folks, said that I hate twice in chapter 2 of Revelation. I hate the Nicolaitans. Hate, H-A-T-E.
Yeah.
This is from
yeah.
Jesus' very lips. And what were the Nicolaitans? It was the church that dominated over the pastor and the ministry. And that's why Paul recognizes that if you can do it without taking money, he's not saying it's wrong. It's not biblically wrong to a point.
Yes.
It's not wrong. The Bible says when they're preaching to you, you support them, and while they're doing it, give them a place to stay, give them food, whatever they need, shelter. But you're not. The Bible never says that we're to sign on for cradle to grave support and benefit. That is not what the Bible says. The churches
well,
have gotten
is,
to the point
I'm
right
sorry.
Now. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say this was what I taught about on Wednesday night in 1 Corinthians 9.
Exactly.
He
9
speaks
is,
of, yes.
That 1 Corinthians
he speaks about
9.
It extensively.
In fact, you know what, folks? Read 1 Corinthians 9. That's going to say
yeah.
it better than what I can.
Yeah. He actually starts it. I'm going to start. He
starts in 8 about the giving in the New Testament?
Well, he starts it in 9:6. He says, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? But then he says, look, he really gets down and dirty with it, if you will.
Go ahead.
Down here in verse 12, he says, if others are, let's go in 11. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others
which
are partakers
not,
of this right.
Which is saying it's not wrong. It's not wrong.
Right, right. But he will go on to say he's not going to do
peril.
It. But he goes on to say.
Peril.
Yes, that's
go
right.
Ahead.
He says, even though it's okay, we're not actually going to. He says, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ.
And folks, the amount of money in this world today that's being gone after by the business of Christianity with a small c.
Yeah.
It is, I'm telling you, it is, and this man is a man I personally knew, that after a couple of years, the church could not do any more. They couldn't turn their head away. They couldn't say they didn't know it. The evidence was known everywhere. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that I couldn't fall. But why Paul is saying, what I'm going towards here is not after a pastor, because you don't even know what part of the country he's in, and it's irrelevant because it happens everywhere. I'm not saying it's
right.
Every church. The problem is Paul here is saying in verse 8 that Raven read, nor did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought the labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable. That's what Jesus is complaining about in Revelation chapter 2,
yes.
Where he hates the Nicolaitans because they are taking control of the people, and there is no better way to take control of someone than say what a certain denomination has told a church that in my area where I live. If you don't follow our dictates, even though you don't agree with them biblically, we're going to cut your money off. And this is the headquarters that told them this.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks, whether we like this or not, these things are happening. The amount of free money that out there is unbelievable. And I'm not saying don't support your church or your pastor. Again, I want to do what Raven said here in verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Let him tell you
yes.
when it's wrong. But when he tells you it's wrong, don't make flimsy excuses. Like, we're fishermen, right? Oh, yes, we're fishermen. Very prolific, Carl. We're fishermen. Well, then we got to go where the fish are. Don't you agree to that? Yes, I do. That doesn't mean, folks, that you go to a church that you know is preaching the wrong doctrine and justify it. Now, this is, folks, you can write me off. Cancel me, never listen to me again, block everything I ever do, which is not much. But you know what? Let the Holy Spirit, please look at Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Let the Lord direct you. I'm only raising a yellow flag in auto
yeah.
racing. A yellow flag does not mean that I go out there and stop every race car by my physical strength. What it's doing is caution. The yellow light as at a traffic signal. Slow down. Relax.
Right.
Don't get uptight. And why? Verse 8, Raven, is so good. And you're right. 1 Corinthians goes so good with that, that you may not
yeah.
be chargeable.
Yeah. He says
okay.
Later on, he goes on to say, if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? that when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel.
And we see that. I just heard about it, folks, to a man I've given money to.
Yes.
It happened some time ago. It happened probably 4 months ago or so. But this has been going on, and I was given money to the problem. I didn't know it, but now I know it.
Yeah.
The last thing I'm going to do is stick there.
Yeah. But isn't this something? Isn't this so true? Here we're paying, you know. And
we're paying, yes, Raven.
You know,
But Raven, you know,
I don't want anybody to be upset, you know, and say, well,
hey, hold on.
You know,
Raven, hold on. You know the town we live in.
In
the geography. There is a person for the last at least 36 years that it's every once in a while in the local paper about he's been caught by the police and arrested for inappropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is 36 years the man's been at it. And the church is protecting him. Am I criticizing the people? Just think of that. The church has been protecting this man. How the police have not, how they have not put those screws on this guy, I don't know.
Right.
Now, see, where I'm going with this is not that we're trying to expose all the dirt in church. We're saying that this is Paul's admonition to people like Raven and me is don't get involved with that. You see what that's saying?
I'm going to go
this
further, Carl, and say what is happening is we are idolizing the pastors. And I know this because the one that you're speaking about, we're not going to.
It's obvious.
Well, I know people in that church, you see, and I know that actual idolization is going on. I'm not going to go into how I know this, but it is but it is actually idolizing this pastor, putting him up on this pedestal and saying, this pastor can do no wrong. And again,
and Raven,
we're not going to.
Raven, that is the worst thing that someone can, that is the worst thing someone can do to anybody is to put them on a pedestal.
Yes. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want anyone to do that with me. I don't think I'm in danger of that, but this is why even on Wednesday nights, I will say, listen, you know, don't think that I'm just preaching it, you know, at you and saying, listen, you do all these wrong things and you shouldn't. No, listen, I am just as guilty, if you will, of straying at times, of doing something wrong and having to repent as anyone else. And we have to be careful when we have a pastor who says to his congregation, you need to get on the straight and narrow, but I'm amazing. I'm great. I never do anything wrong. And I have seen pastors like this. In fact, I have seen more than I would like to have to admit that I have, but unfortunately, I've seen this many times. And just like this skimming off the top that you said that you've seen, I have seen the same thing in a church.
He was skimming a little deeper than the top. But the point of the matter is here, folks, and Raven, you hit it. The Holy Spirit is not here for us to be private investigators and expose all evil. He is telling us the dangers. And Paul is saying, I don't even take. Now, read verse 9. He's saying, not because I can't do it, but it's just safer.
Yes. Yes. And that's the exact same thing he's saying in 1 Corinthians. He's saying the
same
thing.
Message. Amen.
And it's
in
safer
fact, Raven,
not only for us, but for him.
Okay,
it's
read
safer
8 and 9 together. Read 8 and 9 okay. together again in 2 Thessalonians 3. They go together very
okay.
well. That's what I want people to get the message on.
Okay. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you.
That's
not because
one point.
We do
he
not
doesn't want to be a burden. Now, he's
right.
going to say here, I had the opportunity and I was right to do it. Go ahead.
Right. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Make yourself an example. Raven,
yeah.
I'm sure you're aware of that you and I have had, or I've had Bible studies, and you're aware of them, where a church
yeah.
wanted to donate a certain amount of money every week to rent the space.
Yes.
And I said no. And people,
right.
I had one person say, what's such a big deal about that? I don't want to get money involved in spreading the gospel. Man, if there's one
right.
thing in my life I want to stay away from, the pressures of money, it is doing what we're doing right now. But we have opportunities that are going to come up to us.
Oh, yeah.
I've had people want to pay $20 for me. Why would a whole
yeah.
church want to reach out to me, who's a wingnut, who's never been to a Bible college, never seen a seminary, and why do you want to give me $20 a week? No, I don't want
right.
it, only because now
right.
I'm accusing them. I don't want to get to the point where I start abusing that thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
There's a man, Raven, and I'm going to not say the location of the name. About a year ago,
mm-hmm.
I read him and his daughter. He started a certain trend in this country, and it was a highly modified version of the true gospel. And
okay.
he had supposedly, I read this on Safari, and we know that anything on the internet's got to be true. And he had
right.
supposedly 25,000 people in a certain area in several churches under his jurisdiction. He and his daughter had been brought up on charges of money laundering and also in, how can I phrase this, sexual inappropriateness. Not with each other, I didn't say that. Now, what
right,
that
right.
means, I'm not going to go. I'm just saying, folks, you get this big money flashing around me, and don't think that I would be. So the easiest thing this is saying to you, Carl, is don't do this so you're chargeable to anybody. Not that you don't
yeah.
have the power to do it, but if you cannot
yeah.
do it, why not follow the Holy Spirit's advice?
Well, and not and also this chargeable to anyone. Remember what you told me about this pastor that you know, which again, you know, we don't want to name names, but this is a good thing. But still, we're just trying to leave everyone out of it, you know, name wise. But
yeah.
who told you that? Listen, he has the opportunity to go and preach to other churches, but a lot of them he won't. Why? Because they want to
good,
tell him what he's allowed to preach.
Well, it goes
this,
further than they want to. Hold on. It goes further than that. He says, I can't do that. They say, well, then don't, you know, let's sever all diplomatic relations. This man told
right.
me a week ago, 9 days ago, he gets numerous phone calls, numerous, wanting that they don't have a full-time pastor, wanting to come in and preach, volunteer to come in. And he says he refuses many of them. And I say, why would you do that? He says, because they tell me that we've got to come in, and rather than being guided by the Holy Spirit, we have to preach and teach Bible studies according to their printed, written, and don't vary. And he says, I can't do it. I won't do it.
Now, I'm
and
sure.
And I give the man credit.
Because I'm sure there would be some sort of a love offering taken at the very least, you know.
Oh, there always is. And there's nothing wrong
exactly.
with it.
Exactly, but he has the Holy Spirit understanding that just like Paul is talking about here, right, just like Paul's talking about, that it is inappropriate for him, ungodly, for him to go in and allow the church to tell him what he is supposed to preach that day. Who is it that is supposed to tell us what to preach? The Holy Spirit only. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us in what to preach and teach. Now, I don't want to get anybody.
Go ahead.
I want to say
nine.
Something here. Well, I just want to make one comment here. When I say preach, I don't want anybody to think I'm a pastor, okay, because I'm a female. I want to make that clear, okay? I just needed to say that because I don't want anybody getting upset with the program or with me on Wednesday nights. I am not a pastor, okay? There are some people who might take offense because I'm a female and think, well, she shouldn't be a pastor. And some of you might say, well, yes, that's absolutely fine. If you think that, that's okay. You have the right to think that. But I'm telling you, I'm not a pastor, and I will not be a pastor of a church, okay? If you're a male and you don't have a problem, you know, with a female teaching you, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with females teaching.
Hold on. Timothy tells us specifically, it never mentions we can't teach.
Right, I was just going
to
say that.
Teach in the church to usurp a spiritual authority. In other words,
exactly.
When a woman is teaching for the intention of usurping spiritual authority, as was specifically
right.
It states, means she wants to put herself in charge of leadership, Paul says
right.
Don't do it. Now, you don't like
right.
it? You know, I can't help that. I'm not wild about
right.
it either, because I used to argue this until I read
right.
the Bible.
Exactly. Right. And I just wanted to make that very clear. I've never actually said anything about it before, but I don't know. There's, for some reason, the Holy Spirit just said you need to make
Raven,
this clear. So, because we're talking
Raven,
about pastors. And
Raven,
so,
I've got enough things wrong against you and about you that are wrong that I don't have to just, if I want to hang you. Okay. On to verse, Holy Spirit, that was not part of what you told me to say. Okay, let's go to read 9 and 10 again, because the context of
all
both
right.
of these go together. You can't have one without the other. It's like, don't say it's
right.
more important to breathe in. You got to have inhale and exhale.
Right. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
Oh. You got to come over here and pick me up. I'm on the floor. You never hear that verse, folks. We hear so
no.
much about you got to give 10%. That is not biblically
right.
true in the New Testament. That is fake news. Never
yes.
have I ever heard this voice. I'm not saying it's not talked about. I've never heard it. And let
give
the
from
Holy
a cheerful
Spirit
heart.
Guide you. Let the Holy Spirit, because I know pastors out there who are maintaining their job and living only on what they can raise on their own by working and by their, or some by their retirement, because the church can't afford to even pay the electric bill. So I'm not saying
yeah.
don't give money. What I'm saying is Paul is warning us as people who do spread the gospel, don't get involved in filthy lucre, L-U-C-R-E, if you don't have to. Second Timothy
yeah.
talks about that constantly. Or no, First Timothy talks about this constantly. First Timothy chapter 3, get away from the money thing if you can possibly swing it. Because it does
yeah.
lead to all kinds of problems.
Yes.
Okay. And there
yeah.
are churches, Raven, in our little Mickey Mouse part of the world, which is years ago called the Rust Belt, which covers a very
yeah.
wide place. But we're looking in just little churches that are taking anywhere, their budgets, anywhere from 11 to 12, from, you know, like, $10,000 to $12,000 a week to $40,000 a week, and they have to have it. And these are churches that are not major. They're pimple on a dog. I mean,
there are churches taking in more than that.
Oh,
yeah.
They've gotten out of control, folks. We're just saying, don't get messed up if you don't have to. And I think we've covered that enough. All right, let's go to verse 11 and 12.
For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies.
Do you think there's a connection between not working and being busybody? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
If you're working, you don't have time to be a busybody.
Right.
This is the Holy Spirit, not me.
Yeah. He's not talking about working in the job meaning of the word. In other words, he's not saying you have to go out and find an employer to be working for. That's actually not what this means, because Paul doesn't have an employer. Paul doesn't have an employer. He was a tent maker. I mean, most of the people back in that day, or a very good many, didn't have an actual employer. You know, one might be a carpenter, and a lot of them worked for themselves or whatever. You know, some of these people, all they did was go from town to town spreading the gospel or whatever. What he's talking about here.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit, Raven.
Right.
Even if you don't need the money, let's say you're self-supporting, you still got to get working in the ministry or you're going to be a busybody.
Right. Exactly.
That's what
I was going to say. He's talking about being busy with the church or being busy working at something so that you're not up in everybody's business. That's right. Yeah.
Now, read 12, but folks, before she does, Raven didn't write this. The Holy Spirit did, inspired it. Read 12.
Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread.
Do you see what this is saying? So don't get upset because Raven is harping on this thing about the Holy Spirit is saying, because if you do that, what do you do? You do what verse 8 says. You're not chargeable to people. People can't play you like a cheap guitar or a cheap ukulele. This happens every day of the week and many times on Sunday. The domination, the Nicolaitans, where you either got the pastor controlling the people or the people controlling the pastor or the board controlling. And the first church I ever went to, the board was controlling everything, and that is wrong. You show me in the Bible where there's a church board. Well, they say there's not a church board that usurps authority from the pastor. I disagree with that. These are man-made rules about corporate management. I spent 50 years of my life in the workplace, and we use the same mentality that we use in the corporate workplace. This is the Holy Spirit leading it, folks. If the pastor is truly called by God, it's between him and the Holy Spirit what is done. You want to have an advisory board? You want to have some people that you feel comfortable that you can run things off of and get their opinion? I'm not saying don't do that. But the Holy Spirit wrote that Jesus Christ hates the Nicolaitans. And that's not only the people trying to control the church, but the church trying to control the pastor, or the church trying to control the laity. Jesus hates it. Wake up. The problem is, when we talk about this stuff, people attack you and say, well, you're criticizing my pastor, my church. I don't even know where you go. I'm reading what the Holy Spirit is saying. And folks, even if you think we're full of hot air, isn't there enough evidence out in the world in the last 30 years that you understand what's happening?
Right.
What's the easiest? Here, Raven, I haven't touched a drop of alcohol that I'm aware of since 1988. My father died from his clothes rotting to his legs because his liver was totally shot by alcohol. And you know what? Do I feel it's a sin if I had a glass of beer? No, I don't. But the point is, why would you voluntarily get into something when you don't have to that could destroy you? The easiest way to not get caught up in alcohol is don't drink it. The easiest way not to smoke is never try it. And that's what Paul's saying here. If you can do it on your own. Now look at that verse 12 again. He's exhorting you by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness you work and eat your own bread. He's not doing that to make life tough on you.
Right. Yeah.
You and I know one of the three best Bible teachers that I've ever known in my life is a unknown person, and you know who I mean.
Yeah, I do.
He's now gotten so discouraged by the abuse of money that he's no longer in the ministry, and he told me 10 years ago, and this is not in Houston, Texas, or in Hollywood, or in L.A., or Chicago, or New York, where a head of lettuce that is nothing but air, and you squeeze it and it just collapses, is $5. He's not in that kind of an area. And he said he was offered 55 to 60 grand a year, plus all benefits, plus retirement. But he had to preach what this church told him, their sermons they laid out for him, and his teaching was to be done according to what they dictated and their interpretation of what they wanted the Bible to say, and he refused it. And this was 10, 12 years ago, when 60 grand a year was a little more than it is now. This man, and there's a lot of people who would criticize him, and you know that, Raven, for what's happened to him, and I'm not going to get into that. I don't know enough about it. But this man was smart enough when he was unemployed to see that is not the way you want to do it. It'll kill me.
Right.
All right. Go ahead in verse 13, what Paul is now telling you, that it, actually you're doing the right thing if you obey his. You read 12. We exhort you by the Lord Christ that with quietness you work and eat your own bread. Now read verse 13.
But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good.
So he's saying this is good if you can do it because you're saving yourself from a lot of headache.
Yes.
You see that 13 goes right with 12?
Yes.
Now, here is the reason he's writing this. Read 14.
And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed.
I didn't write this, folks. If any man, that's anyone out there listening, this is saying if you know of any man who does not do what this epistle's saying, and they're living lavishly, much more lavish than the ones who are working to give the money. And you see these abuses going on. The Holy Spirit says they obey not our word or by this epistle. They're contradicting what the Holy Spirit said. It says, note the man and have no company with him.
Yes.
Don't even be around him. Do you pray for him? Because I had that thrown in my face. Well, then, Carl, you're saying don't pray. Never said that. This is just saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, if any man does not obey this word, then you note that man. Now, the other thing, again, I know two excellent people. I go to a church where a man does not give sermons, no 5 minutes of jokes. He opens the Bible. He did today. It was time for the sermon. He didn't tell any jokes. He said, as he does every week, open your Bibles to to, it was actually in Thessalonians. He gives you the chapter and the verses. We read the whole chapter. It was like 16. I know two other preachers who do that. And these other two are men who support themselves because their church can't afford it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that a church that the man is supported by the pastor is wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying, because whenever we get on to something like this, the emotions get so high. Well, then you're saying that my pastor, who's supported by the church, is evil. I don't hear what I didn't say. Use your brain. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you when there's abuses going on.
Yeah.
I am telling you, folks, I've been part of the, I've been supporter of the church that this man was on recently was exposed for, and it's been going on for years. I didn't know that. My intentions were good. But once you see it, what does Raven read 14 again?
And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Okay, listen, Raven. Listen to what Raven's saying. We're not to pray for him. Nope. Listen to verse 15. Go ahead.
Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
And how do you do that? Go to Galatians 6:1. Just as a starting point.
Yes. Galatians 6:1.
Just as a starting point, because don't hear what Raven didn't say. She's not saying that it's wrong to take money.
Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
You see that? So the people
Absolutely.
Would say, and I've had it thrown in my face, then you're saying, don't pray for them. No. Verse 15, count them not as an enemy, but admonish him as
right.
a brother. How do you do that? Raven just read in Galatians 6:1. You who are spiritual, restore them. How do you restore them? First thing you do is start with James 1:5. You go to God for that wisdom. How do I know how to restore you? I don't even know how to restore me when I get caught in the web of sin. And what happens, Raven, if you don't, according to Galatians 6:1? You're liable to fall into the same trap.
Yes.
You see where it says that
yes.
in Galatians 6:1?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, everything Raven has been reading here and we've been talking about is not condemning whether you take money or don't. It's the evil that the enemy wants to wrap you up with, where you are now excommunicated, fired, whatever, because you are using money inappropriately, or you are using your money to, and you are getting into, and I'll say it, you're getting into adulterous and fornication, things that are inappropriate, which has happened to one of the biggest names in modern Christianity, which I won't mention. And I read it on Safari, not a hate website. All right, we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and read 3 through 7. This is, again, for our understanding. Wake up. Get your emotions out of this. Well, Carl, he's a nice guy. I am not talking. The Holy Spirit is talking.
And there's a lot of nice guys out there, Carl.
What? There's going to be a lot of nice guys in the lake of fire.
That's right.
And I
That's
mean
right.
sincerely, the most honest
yeah.
person I've ever ran into in the business world. Not saying the others are dishonest, but the person, the first one I ran into, would not in any way or circumstances, no matter how much money was at stake. And I'll say, the company I just retired from, I know the president was the same way. He voluntarily, 15 years ago, swallowed a very, very large amount of money without even the customer knowing it. He said, no, we're wrong. We're going to volunteer to the customer. It's our fault. We're going to do it for nothing. But that does not save your soul. So I don't want to hear,
right.
Well, he's a nice guy. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Even if you think Raven and I are demonic and we're one breath away from hell, listen to what the Holy Spirit says in these readings we're going to do. Go ahead.
Okay. 1 Timothy, what was that again?
Chapter 1, 3 through 7.
Okay. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Nor give. Yes.
Teach
that's
no other.
That's Galatians 1.
You know what? Go to that. That's a good. Go ahead.
Yes. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
Now, Raven, there's a guy, and I meant to tell you this, and I didn't, so I'll give it to you now. There's a guy out of the Washington, D.C. area, but he's actually in Maryland. But Maryland is right at the doorstep of Washington, D.C.
Right.
Or Virginia. I mean, he's right, but he's considered out of Washington. I just started hearing him this week, accidentally in the car when I went out to get the mail and run errands. His name is, and I'll mention the name because he's right on. His name is Lon, L-O-N, Solomon. And Lon Solomon does what Raven's been doing here and reads verses. And he always says to the people, what is the question you're to ask? And everybody says, so what? So Raven just read verse 8 for Galatians 1. If anyone preaches any other gospel, may be eternally condemned, accursed. In verse 9, it says the same thing. I don't know I've ever seen two verses repeated verbatim in the scripture. I don't know. Now I say to Raven, well, so what? Read verse 10, Raven.
Yes.
Of Galatians.
For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Do you see why it's so what for verse 8 and 9? This guy, Raven, I'm telling you, he's excellent. He's on the CSN, which in
Lon
our area
Solomon.
Lon, L-O-N, Lon. Solomon.
Okay.
He is, you can look him up in your... on your search, you'll see it. But he says, okay, folks, what should you ask? And they say, so what? Because he's taking the same attitude. So what? And the answer to so what to 8 and 9 is 10. You can't serve God and man. You can't. This is a warning to people like you and I.
Send me a text about when he's on and what station, would you, Carl?
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's FM 1605.
Okay.
Raven, I never knew this, but this is a local station, and we get it clear as a bell. FM 1605.
You know what time he's on?
Hold on, 106.5.
106.5. I was going to say 1605, okay. 106.5. Okay.
And this guy is fantastic. I'm trying to think of the time he's on. I you know, when I listen to him because I go out at the same time. I'm going to guess it's in the morning. I'm going to guess it's anywhere from 8:30 to 10. But his name is Lon Solomon. And you could probably look it up on search, and they would probably show when he's on in our area. Now, strangely enough, the call letters have said 106.5, are exactly what I thought the call letters of a TV station were in our era, but I may be wrong. But anyhow, that's
okay.
Irrelevant. Juan Solomon, but he always does that. He did just what you were doing with you when you read that. He makes a point in every one of his sermons that I've listened to. And the people say, oh, so what? You just said a bunch of words. What does that mean? And then he goes biblically into saying why. This man is excellent. And I don't count many people.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way, yeah.
Now, you just read in here in verse 3 that we might have charged some that they teach no other doctrine. Go ahead and read 4. Why? Because here's what's going to happen to you if you listen to false doctrine.
Yes. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith.
How often, yes, Raven, do we have this in the Bible studies you've attended where people ask questions that are not even related to the topic? That all they do is they start an argument.
Yes.
The things that the Bible doesn't even define that there's a finite answer to. Do you see why you want to not be around anybody that teaches another doctrine? Because you're going to get caught up in this nonsense.
Right. Yeah, I've been talking about the Bible to somebody, and they say, well, what about aliens and people on other planets?
Yeah,
the Bible
perfect.
Doesn't
that's
talk about that.
Example. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
The Bible doesn't talk about it. Who cares? Who cares?
Perfect example. Perfect example. And you have been in my Bible studies when we've gotten into this.
Yeah.
And people bring up and we spend the whole study on things that mean nothing. The Bible doesn't even address. And that's a perfect example.
Yep.
I was trying to think of an example.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Why bring up something that, first of all, we're not even dealing with? I mean, have you seen an alien? No. So don't worry about it. And second of all, God doesn't talk about it. Don't worry about it. It's not in Scripture. Don't worry about it. It's worry about, I don't like to say worry, but talk about what God is talking about. Worry about your salvation. Are you saved? Do you know God? Do you have a good relationship with him? Are you pursuing him daily? That is what you should be talking about. Not whether or not there are little green men in outer space.
Now, look at verse 4 again. You just said, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. Read the rest of what you should be doing.
Right. Rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Yes.
And what's the last two words I've got? In mind, so do. Rather than godly edification, which is in faith, so do. Do these things. Talk about the things that will edify people, not get an argument going back and forth in a Bible study, which ruins the whole Bible study. Now, in years in the past, Raven, I have allowed people to do this and shipwreck the Bible, hijack the Bible study is the terminology, I guess. Lately, I have been saying, okay, folks, we don't know. The Bible doesn't address that specifically. Let's move on to what the Bible addresses. And here's what it's saying. The Bible addresses godly edifying, which is in faith. Do this. The King James Version says, so do. Don't worry about these other things.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, go with verse 5.
Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
The purpose or end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Charity is God's love, folks, not man's love.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, but it's all the love that God has for people, which we can't learn, we can't teach, we can only be gifted it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It is not, the Bible does not talk about love when it's talking about the love for other people that Christ even has for us. It talks about the love of God, the love of Christ. It's pandemic. John, in his epistle, in 1 John, it's pandemic in everything he says. In fact, folks, if you want to read it, I'll give it. I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to give you where you can find out that this is not nonsense we're making up. 1 John 2:5.
1 John 2:5.
Okay, let's stick with 1 John 4:10-12. 1 John 4:10-12.
Okay.
Romans 5:8. 2:1-5. Philippians 2:1-5. And 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now you read that. That's pandemic. It's the love of God. And here, let me show you one, another great one. I want you to go to 1 John 4. Raven, you've read this recently in our study on Sunday afternoon here.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about the love of God. In fact, it says the love of God. It's not my love. It's not Carl's love gets better. It's not my random acts of kindness. So I'm saying don't do acts of kindness. No, but that's not the love the Bible is exhorting us. We got to go to a level we can't get to, and that's to allow the love of Jesus Christ to actually take control of us and how we treat other people.
Yes.
And listen to what he says in verse 10. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. And if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. And how did God love us? He actually died for our sins. And it says in verse 11, 1 John 4:11, if God loved us, then we ought to also love one another. Love doesn't mean that I buy your breakfast or your lunch after church so we can gossip about other people. Are you willing to put yourself on a limb to lose family, to lose job, to lose money, to lose power, to lose status, to lose reputation, to tell somebody the truth and be a watchman and maybe be hated by that? Are you willing to go that far? Jesus Christ was, and that's the way we're to show our love. In fact, you used a statement recently with me, regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost, God, I'm willing to show you my love, even if they hate me, even if they fire me from my job. I don't have that love blanket. I'm praying for it, but I don't have it yet. Watch how we throw these things around in Scripture.
Yes.
Because what? The end of the commandment she read in verse 5 is charity, which is love. But it's not the love of man.
Right.
It's the love of God.
It's not that love.
Yeah.
It's not that emotion. You know what I mean?
No.
It's what God... It's the Holy Spirit working love through us.
Prove that. Look at verse 5. You just said it's the Holy Spirit working through us. It's charity out of a pure heart. The only one that can make a heart pure is the Holy Spirit. So that confirms what you said.
Yes.
And of a good conscience. There is no good conscience, folks. Good conscience is a conscience that's formed out of Scripture only. There is no good conscience on Carl. If I say, oh, Raven, I did it because my conscience told me to, and she has all the right to say to me, Oh, you're saying that, but your conscience, where did you form your conscience? If it's not out of the scripture alone and nothing added to or subtracted, your conscience ain't worth a tinker's darn.
Yeah.
And a faith unfeigned, what does that mean? That means exactly what you told me, Raven, and that is you're willing, regardless of the consequences, to put yourself out on the firing line in order to save a person's soul. That is the love Christ had for us, folks, in 1 John 4. And if,
yes.
If he had that love for us, he says in the next verse, that's the way we're to love others, not by this stupidity
yes.
that we do, that if I change your oil, that shows my Christian. No. If a person
yeah.
needs their oil changed or carrying groceries, do it. But don't think that's showing the love of God. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, the good
yes.
works will follow the true love of God.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we're going to go to 7. Let's read 6 and 7.
Okay. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding
no,
neither...
Six.
Oh, six.
Six,
yes. Yes. Let me read 5 again because they kind of run into
yeah,
each other.
Go right
now
ahead.
The purpose Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk.
Now, listen, we're not talking about
yeah.
ding-a-lings like Carl and Raven in the church. We're talking about the ministers and the teachers that
yeah.
we're purporting to be right now, teachers. Well, how can you say
yeah.
that, Carl? Verse 6, some have swerved. Who are the some? Listen to what it's showing in 7. Read 7.
Yes. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Mm, wow. That's serious, Carl.
It is, but
yeah,
that's
it is.
Along with everything I gave the people, Raven, that we started a couple of weeks ago reading about what to do when you know the spirit of Antichrist is preaching your church.
Yeah.
You go to God,
yes.
folks, because God is telling us, and I've given you all the verses in the beginning of the program that we listed throughout all the epistles so far. We haven't finished. We're going to be on this for who knows how long. I want to make sure you realize it's in every epistle. That's how serious
yes.
the problem is.
Yes.
You remember in Acts, Raven, when Paul said, I know that after my departure in death, the ravenous wolves will come into the church, and they're going to destroy
yeah.
the flock, which is believers. And he says something I'm not seeing in Scripture also. For 3 years, the Holy Spirit says, Paul cried day and night over this problem.
Yeah.
That's how big a problem
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to
3 years
10.
Without ceasing, doesn't he say? Doesn't he say
yeah,
3 years without ceasing?
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Acts 20. I think it's Acts 20:30. Let me just look at that because I can get right to it. Acts 20. Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you, night and day, with tears. Night
yeah.
and day. I haven't seen the Holy Spirit make that comment about a person on anything.
Yeah.
Not saying he hasn't. I haven't seen it. All right, let's go to verse 10 in 1 Timothy 1.
Okay. We're in 8. We're in verse 8.
Yeah, but I'm not. Okay, you can read 8 and 9. I didn't. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this.
And how do you use
the
law?
How
is the law used, folks? Not that you're to obey it in your own strength. Galatians 3:24. The law is only there to point us to the fact we can't keep it and to point us to Jesus Christ who has to by his mercy and his grace, give us the ability to obey it. The law is not meant for you to keep in your own strength.
Right. Well, I love verse 9. It's because it says exactly what it's for. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, ungodly, and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So the law is not for the saved, because we are right. We have our righteousness in Christ. We follow, if we're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has us following God. The law is for those who don't know how to walk in the Spirit.
But understand that all of us, according to Romans 3:23, and let me read that, all have sinned and come short of it. So Romans 3:23 says that every one of us fall in this category of being unrighteous.
Right. But we do have
until
our righteousness in Christ. Right,
right.
Right.
But I'm saying
our righteousness is only in Christ.
Says, hold on. It's saying, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. And people will say, well, that doesn't include me. It does include you, because you had to obey. You had to conform to this teaching to become a righteous man, because you can't do it on your own.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Our righteousness is in Christ alone.
Read Romans 3:23-26, folks. We're all sinners. All have sinned. Not one chooses right. Not one. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Where Lot was saying to God, but you're going to destroy this whole nation or this whole group. He said, what if there's one good person in this? Would you spare all of Sodom and Gomorrah? And God said, yes.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
None of us are good.
Right.
Okay, go ahead and read. Continue with 9.
Okay.
Oh, you do, yeah. Go ahead, 9 and 10.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy
and
profane.
We all are in the beginning. All of us fit this verse 9 in the beginning.
In the beginning, yes. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
And what does he say here? Get away from it.
Yeah.
Get away from it. Have no fellowship, you read earlier.
Yeah.
Don't even spend an hour of time with him.
Yes.
All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:6.
3:6. Okay.
This is talking about being an overseer in a church or a pastor or a bishop. They're all the same thing. Pastor, bishop, overseer.
Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil.
And when you're falling in, when you're puffed up by pride, what are you going to do? You're not going to be doing what she read in 1 Timothy 1:4-5.
Yes.
In fact, 3, 4, and 5. As I besought you to abide at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that you might have charged some that they teach no other doctrine. Those who are puffed up with pride were very liable to teach another doctrine.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that people who are the whiz-bangs that come in and they give a lot of money and they're up there teaching and preaching right away? And those are the ones you get that it says, don't neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, which Raven said can't be answered, but rather godly edifying. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. That means a lot of faith folk is feigned, which means it's fake. It's put on. It's hypocritical. I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit saying it. These are, again, these are just like we read before. These are not saying it's wrong to take money. It's just saying be aware of the traps that are out there because the enemy wants you to fall.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to 2 Timothy and read. We still have enough time for this. Read 3:8. And
okay.
I'm only cherry picking here. I haven't gone through the Bible. I don't use a concordance or anything. These are things I found in my own reading. There's got to be tons more I haven't. In fact, you know what? Wait a minute. Hold on. I'd like you to start at 4. In fact, start at 1. Man, I can't. I got to go to 1.
All right. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Stop.
Having
stop
a form
a
of God.
Stop just a minute. Hold on. Hold on. This is talking about these ravenous wolves that are going to be preaching and teaching in your church. This is talking about 1 Timothy 4:1 that says, in latter days, the Spirit expressly states there's going to be some depart from the faith and preach doctrines of demons and devils. Now read verse 5, which is showing that these are your preachers and teachers who have wandered.
Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away.
Read 6.
For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts.
Keep going.
Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Raven, there are people that you and I know who spend great money and time going all over the United States to different wonderful conferences. They're going to life-changing. All you have to All you have to do is open the book written, every word inspired by the Holy Spirit. What do you think any human being, including us, can do for you other than turn you to the Bible? You don't have to fly tomorrow to Washington, the next week to Seattle. You want to do it, do it. But you've got the only words that can save your soul and purify you as a Christian right in here. We're always running from, in fact, Amos talks about a famine in the land. He even says that they're going to be running from sea to sea, from Los Angeles to Boston, searching for the truth, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they deny the power. And what is the power? It's Jesus Christ, period.
Yep. I can't tell you how many women have told me about all these women's conferences they go to. Every year they go. Every year. And yet I don't see growth. I don't see growth. You know, they have to, well, if they have to go year after year after year, I mean, you'd think that there would be some sort of.
That's what they're saying, Raven. You see what they're saying? They're always learning, but never come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth. John 14:6.
Yep. Now, I've never been to one of these things, so I don't know what goes on.
I have.
But I got to tell you.
I was, and I couldn't wait to go to the next one. But finally it hit me. Why don't you read the Bible, Carl? What can they do for you that I can't?
Yeah. Right. You know what? Let me change that.
Yeah.
Used to be years ago, we used to go to this for 2 years in a row, actually. My husband and I went to this, and I'm not going to say what it was, but it was this conference
It goes on
still, you know. It's this family conference, and you even take the kids, and they have their own thing they go off to, and it's so your family can grow in the Lord, and da-da-da-da-da, and it's actually one of those, now that I look back on it, it's one of those name and claim it type of things, you know, which...
Yep, yep, very complex.
Whatever.
Cells.
Name, yes,
and claim,
exactly.
It's attractive.
Yes, but it's, you know, it's... But here's the thing, you know, they get you hooked up in this stuff, believing that it's going to make some sort of a difference in your life, in your family, in your whatever. And just like you said, Carl, what's going to make a difference in your life, your family, your whatever, is Jesus Christ.
Prove that, Raven. Read 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And then we're done.
Yep, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are
Holy
able
Scripture.
To make you what? Yes,
yep.
The
Holy
Scriptures.
Scripture, not Carl's cruises.
Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Now, what in 15, 16, and 17, the Holy Spirit is saying he can do it. Why do you need to do anything more than to read the Scripture and pray for him to guide you? Why?
Yeah.
Seriously. And folks, if I ever get to the point where I'm not pointing you only to Scripture, then don't listen to me. Go out and play in the snow. In fact, if you're in Buffalo this week, I've never heard of this, 7 feet of snow where the Buffalo Bills play football. 7 feet.
Wow.
When I heard that Friday, I thought that was an exaggeration, as the weather forecasters do a lot. They actually had 7 feet in Orchard Park, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo. 7 feet. In fact, the Buffalo team is in Detroit today playing a football game in Detroit because they couldn't play it in Buffalo today.
Wow.
Ray, and I heard last week that 7 feet. I thought, here we go again, another disaster.
Right.
The weather people are no different than the news media. Everything is a disaster. There's no halfway between. It's always disaster. But no, this was literally measured in Orchard Park. 7 feet.
7 feet. I don't know how they got out of there.
Well, okay, that's another question. Hold on, Raven. There's stories on all over the place that the fans, the people in Buffalo, the players, they almost missed their flight to Detroit. But the fans at every one of these players' houses, fans would come up, and they would come up with snow plows. They would clear the place. They got players to the airport on snowmobiles. This was a disaster. You know what? This is interesting, but we ought to do this. We ought to go to... go to final prayer. This was fantastic.
Yeah. Father, remind us every day that you are the only place that we can go for truth, the only place we can go for real love for our friends, our neighbors, our family, our spouses.
Amen.
The only place that we can go for advice, for true healing, even though we have men and women on earth who can advise us and who can help us medically, you are the true healer. And you are who we need for spiritual healing, for our spiritual advice, and for our spiritual teaching. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you constantly convict us of everything that we need and to remind us to come to your throne and worship only you. In Christ's name, amen.
Raven, thank you, and we'll be back next week at the same time. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.